Welcome to everyone this morning, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning we have the choir doing a prelude, an opening prelude for us this morning, titled, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. And after the choir's prelude, we will continue with the singing of the hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, May 17th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Ken Richard, Pam Featon, and Terry Biggs. The opening hymn is number 728, How Firm a Foundation, hymn 728 in the Lutheran Service Book. Sean and Deanna Hayes are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in honor of their 20th wedding anniversary on May 13th. Bill Schaub is sponsoring the flowers on the stand to the glory of God in loving memory of Lori Schaub and their May 15th wedding anniversary. Matthew and Lindsay Budman are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Taylor Budman's 21st birthday on June 2nd.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him.
As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God.
But the righteous shall be glad, they shall exult before God, they shall be jubilant with joy.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him.
Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation.
God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain, before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel.
Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished.
Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
Be with you. Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation. Send us the Spirit of truth whom you promised from the Father, for you live and reign with him in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first reading for this, the seventh Sunday of Easter. From the book of Acts, the first chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be none to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the sacrament of holy baptism, what is baptism?
Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word.
The epistle reading from 1 Peter, the 4th and 5th chapters. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of the true and living God, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 539, Christ is the World's Redeemer, hymn 539 in the Lutheran Service Book.
a sermon text from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. He is risen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Peter in our text, and as he has been for the last several weeks, he's warning Christians who are preparing to face persecution. Many of these Christians have already faced some sort of blowback for their faith in Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. But today Peter's clear that some of them will experience more. He says, don't you be surprised when the fiery trial comes upon you. Of this sort of trial, not all the Christians are going to experience it. Only some of them will be struck and will be put to the test of what they can endure. Some of them will be struck very hard. Some less. Regardless, all of them will be affected by what is coming. So how are the Christians to view such trials? When the trial walks through the door and it comes to you and it travels step by step with you, the hearers are to know that they are fellowshipping with Christ. Now this is going to tell us something. This tells us something very important. This is suffering for bearing the name of Christ. It's important to note. It is a suffering that comes from being a Christian and claiming Christ as your Savior. The readers know that we're not speaking of common everyday sufferings. We have common everyday sufferings. We have lack of employment, need of food, the economy turning, and, we know what it's like right now. I mean, we just had a discussion in our household this morning how it took, $63 to fill a half a tank of gas. It's a trouble. It's a problem. It's a common one. Everybody has them. The real hardships, of course, and they can test a Christian's faith. However, Peter here is speaking of something very specific. Here is a fiery trial coming upon you precisely because you are connected to the name of Jesus. A burning trial because you stand with Jesus and you confess Jesus as your Savior. Indeed, you confess Jesus as the Savior of all people and the only way to eternal life. Some will be struck fearfully. And some will be struck more or less. But Peter's counsel is that one should rejoice to the degree in which they are struck by the trial. Why? Because Jesus is drawing you closer to himself through the suffering that you endure for his name. And Peter points out, it's important. And it's striking, but it's important. Peter points out on the last day, you don't want to stand before Jesus having chickened out and bailed on the confession of his name. That's important. We go through a lot of things in life that are like that. Might be studying for an exam, and you don't put all you got into studying, and then you put the exam right in front of you, and you know you failed. Maybe not failed the exam, but failed to be as prepared as you could have been. Whatever this fiery trial is, whatever its intensity is, you want to be content that you fellowship with Jesus. That you have fellowship with Jesus, and you don't want to be found lacking when Jesus returns in all of his glory. Now, generally speaking, in our day, right, we're not expecting for the government to turn on us. Right? We're not expecting to have people knocking down the doors and arresting us because we are Christians. That's something we're not expecting. We're not expecting to be hauled into court for being a Christian and thrown into jail and face death for our faith. But what trials are we likely to face? Well, we're going to face the philosophy of the worldly. And that public opinion will be a mask of Satan. Your trials will be to leave well enough alone. Don't rock the boat. Go along to get along. And most of us will be tempted to have the false god of peace in the family. More worried about alienating a family member and drawing their anger than we are concerned about walking side by side with Jesus Christ. Every one of us knows what not to bring up in a conversation and what we can bring up in a conversation. And we know never to bring up paychecks, politics, or religion. We ruffle feathers if we mention cohabitation, gender issues, life issues, doctrinal issues. We are given withering glares and derisive snorts. And we're labeled as the bringers of tension into the family. It's best, and we say, to avoid those hard questions. And we do. But we do that mostly out of fear. Not fear that a loved one will lose their eternal salvation, but fear that they won't like us, or that we are afraid they will engage in some form of self-harm, that if we bring whatever the issue is up, whatever the issue is, we bring it up, that we will drive them to do the very thing which we're trying to steer them away from. Still, if we won't stay quiet, if we speak out, if we stand with Christ, and the soft sell of public opinion, right, if the withering glances and the growling and the derisive snorts don't stop you, they're not enough to get you to be quiet, Satan may go after your family. He may go after your health. He may go after your job. That's all true. But he might come at you directly. Straight at you. He will put you under the trial of false doctrine. And false doctrine seems so, so very attractive. Not poisonous at all. You are holy because you're a good person. Sounds appropriate. Even sounds good. When in fact, it is born of works righteousness. look away from Christ and look at you and understand what a good person you are. And though we are less likely to fall into the trap of being holier than thou, the devil might just try that one upon us too. We may fall for the trap of the man who is in the front of the synagogue, lifting his hands and his eyes to heaven and saying, God, oh God, thank you for not making me like that wretch over there. The opposite is also quite true. Satan will get you to dwell on your sins and to say that you indeed are no holy person at all, that you're not worthy of the name Christian. He will bring up your sins into your heart. He will bring them to your mind. He will seek to get you to doubt your salvation. The trial here is take your eyes off cross. Take your eyes off Christ. And turn in on yourself. Not save yourself. It's not about your works. But it is to get you to doubt that God can save you because of your sins. Or that he will save you because you are such a mighty sinner. I am not saved because my sins are just too great. I go to church and yet my conscience accuses me as much as Satan does. Yes, you bear the name Christian. But you are really embarrassed by that name. Look at your vices. They nearly control you. Isn't your faith really just a show that you put on? And aren't you really less sure about your salvation than you put on to be? And if that doesn't work, you are blasted by the tyranny of enough. You don't believe enough. You don't trust enough. You don't pray enough. You don't read your Bible enough. Enough. Indeed, you ought to have had enough of enough. And when faced with such trials, when faced with such accusations, you must look to Christ. And you must look to Christ alone. Yes! Yes, indeed, you are a mighty sinner. Yes, your sins are great. And if it was left up to you, you would be lost. You would be lost to the flames of eternal death. But instead, what ought we to do? We ought to agree with Satan. We ought to agree with the devil. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I am a mighty Savior, sinner. But that's as far as we're going to go. Of course I'm a great sinner. After that we must say in our spiritual trial, but I have an even greater Savior. He is the Son of God. He is Jesus Christ. He is the one who has shed his blood for my sins and risen from the grave to bestow on me life everlasting. Attacked in the flesh and attacked in the spirit, what is it that we are to do? Peter says most clearly, entrust yourself into a faithful Creator. That is, deposit the treasure of your soul into safe and trustworthy hands. Those hands are the hands of your Creator. He has given you life. He allows trial into your life for your good and for the exercising of your faith. Why is this? Well, if you're anything like me, and it's not that I am the standard at all, but I am the only person I know well enough to discuss, when I am assailed, when I am assailed by my fellow man, I desire to lash out and lash back. I desire to win regardless of the cost. And that is not much of a Christ-like thing. Jesus is turning the other cheek. And instead of lashing out, he does good to those who do ill to him. So the same is true for the Christian in their trials. Seek to do good to and for your persecutor. Stand fast as God allows you to be exercised and strengthened in the faith, and continue to trust in him. And even when you can't understand, and even when you don't know the outcome of your trials, pray to be faithful. And ask for the strength to be steadfast in your loyalty to Jesus, your Savior, so that in the end, and on that last day, you won't be ashamed before the righteous judge. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
Sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org. where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you have given boldness to your children through the resurrection of your Son from the dead. Free us from fear of the world, its temptations, its ways, and its power. And fix our eyes on Christ alone, that we may be faithful to him even to death. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you blot out transgressions and wash away iniquity. Sustain the families of your church that husbands, wives, and children would be cleansed from their sins and live together in peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have shown your face to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Answer those who cry out in his name. Hear our prayers for the family of Wayne Shealy, as Wayne was called to his eternal glory this week. Give peace to his family as they grieve, yet create in them trust that he has been called from this veil of tears to your side in heaven. Be the stronghold of Wayne's family and preserve them unto eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, fill us with joy as we approach your altar to receive the body and blood of Christ. Give us the peace that passes understanding, the gladness no man can take from us, and the hope that does not fade away. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that through your Holy Spirit you have appointed us to be witnesses to your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And since the world cannot endure the testimony and persecutes us in every way, encourage and comfort us, we implore you, that we would not be offended by these crosses, but continue steadfast in your testimony and be found always among those who know you and your Son until we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ
will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith
and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
The Lord's table.
Taking the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given to you for the forgiveness of sins.
Body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and grant thee His peace.
The closing hymn is number 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded, hymn 587 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. I'd like to remind everybody that next Sunday in between services, there will be a special voters meeting to put forth a candidate for the preschool pre-K teaching position at Zion Lutheran School and to have a vote on that. There is no youth group today. We also remember that Wednesday is 8th grade graduation from Zion. So there will be a service here Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., which everybody is invited to. And also, don't forget, today the Ladies' Aid bake sale over in the auditorium. And those funds that are raised today will go to support Zion Lutheran School teachers and buying supplies that the teachers might need out at school. So I looked earlier this morning, and it was hard not to sample. I got my finger smacked. The Lord bless all of you. The Lord bless your comings in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.